This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our hope of glory. Amen. Well, the title for today's message is Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. And it's based on Colossians 1 verse 27, which reads, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we're going to examine those words, Christ in you, the hope of glory, in great detail. And we're going to find out how they apply to our lives today. But first, I want to examine the context in which those words appear. Now the past two sermons were based on the first 23 verses of Colossians chapter 1. In the first sermon, we learned that we sinners have been rescued. We've been rescued from sin, from death, and from hell by Jesus, through whom we have forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. In the second sermon, which we heard last week, we learned about who Jesus is and about what He did to rescue us. We learned that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, God in human flesh, and that He rescued us by dying on the cross in our place of damnation and then conquering death for us by His own resurrection from the grave. With that understood, we're now ready to examine today's reading, which is Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. And Paul begins today's reading with these words. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. Now, what in the world does Paul mean when he says that he fills up in his flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions? Well, first of all, let me tell you what Paul does not mean. Paul does not mean that Jesus didn't suffer enough to save us, and so Paul has to make up the difference. That's not what he means. You see, Scripture clearly teaches that Jesus' suffering fully atones for our sin. Besides, Paul is a mere human. He's a sinner like you and me, and so his suffering couldn't atone for our sin one little bit. So then, what does Paul mean when he says, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions? Well, simply put, when Paul talks about Christ's afflictions, he means the afflictions that Christ is giving to Paul. In other words, Christ is allowing Paul to suffer in order to help Paul grow and mature in his faith. For example, I want you to listen to what the risen Jesus said to Ananias about Paul. Jesus said, This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So there you have it. Jesus himself revealed to Paul that he would have to suffer many afflictions as he proclaimed the good news about Jesus around the world. But please understand, God wasn't doing this to punish Paul, because Paul's sins were already punished when Jesus died for him. Instead, Paul was receiving these sufferings as a gift, believe it or not. God was going to use these afflictions to strengthen Paul's faith and to help him become a more mature Christian. In fact, Paul writes about this in Romans 5. Listen to what he says. We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So why am I telling you all of this? Well, the reason is that we also may suffer afflictions as we strive to live for Jesus in a world that, for the most part, hates Him. Not only do we Christians have to face all the problems and trials that every other human has to face in this fallen world, but on top of that, we may also have to suffer affliction when we strive to live according to God's word and be witnesses for Jesus in our culture. Now, let me state the obvious. No person enjoys suffering. I certainly don't. I personally like to avoid suffering as much as possible. But when we do suffer, especially if we suffer persecution because we are living for Jesus and witnessing for Him, God will use such suffering to strengthen our faith in Jesus and make us appreciate the eternal hope we have even in the face of death itself. In fact, this reminds me of what the Apostle Peter writes regarding suffering as a Christian. Listen to what he says. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do what is good. Finally, listen to what Jesus Himself says about this whole issue. He says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." My Christian friends, we have it really good here in America. It almost seems strange to our ears to hear that we might have to suffer for following Jesus. And so we should be very, very thankful for the freedom we have here in America and not take it for granted. Because the fact is, as I mentioned last Sunday, there are brothers and sisters in Christ around the world right now who are being terribly persecuted for their faith in Jesus. And so I want you to know that if the day does come when God allows us to suffer for Jesus, please remember this does not mean that He has forsaken you. On the contrary, when God allows you to suffer for Jesus, it is a great honor, and God will actually use that suffering to make your faith even stronger and to help you focus on the hope that you have in Jesus, which is sure and certain. With that said, let's continue with today's reading. Paul goes on to talk about a mystery that was hidden but has now been revealed. What is this mystery? This mystery is that God sent His Son into the world to save all sinners, both Jews and Gentiles. This mystery was hidden for many centuries because not many people knew about God's promise of a Savior. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that only the people of Israel and a few Gentiles knew about this gospel. But ever since Jesus gave His great commission, more and more people are hearing the gospel and more people are being saved. Remember what the resurrected Jesus said to His apostles? "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The gospel mystery that was once known only by a few people has been proclaimed to millions and continues to go around the world today. And we are part of God's ongoing mission to proclaim His gospel to the world. As we raise our children in the faith, and they grow up and have children and raise their children in the faith, we pass on this mystery, this good news, to future generations. And as we share the good news with the people in our own generation, and as the Holy Spirit turns more people to repentance and faith in Christ, this mystery continues to go out into all the world. And now we're ready to examine the meaning of the words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. First, what does that word Christ mean? You've heard me talk about it before, but it's good for us to be reminded. You see, many wrongly think Christ was Jesus' last name, but it's not. Christ is Jesus' title. Jesus is the Christ. You see, that word Christ comes from a Greek word, Christos, which translates the Hebrew word Mashiach, and both words mean the anointed one. You see, if you read the Old Testament, you will see that men who were chosen by God to be prophets and priests and kings, they were often anointed with perfumed oil in a public ceremony to show everyone that they had been chosen by God for that office. Well, when Jesus was baptized, he was anointed in a very special way. He was not anointed with perfumed oil. Instead, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the Father then spoke from heaven, and at his baptism, the Father said, "This is my Son." So, Jesus is the Anointed One. He is the Christ. He is the one whom the Father chose to be our Savior from sin and death and hell. Secondly, Paul says something wonderful about us Christians. He says Christ is in you. But how is it possible for the Holy Son of God to dwell in sinners? Have you ever thought of that? Well, when Jesus finished his work on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And if you recall, at that moment, the curtain in front of the Holy of Holies in the Jerusalem temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You see, the Holy of Holies is where God's glory dwelled. The curtain was there as a sign that no sinner could enter God's glory and live. But after Jesus suffered and died for our sins, he removed the barrier that separated us from God and his glory. The curtain was ripped in two as a sign that God's glory left the Holy of Holies to find another temple. So where is God's temple now? Well, in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "You yourselves are God's temple," referring to us believers. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "We believers are the temple of the living God." Did you hear that? When the Holy Spirit works through baptism and the preaching of God's word to give you repentance and faith in Christ, you then become the temple of the living God. As Paul says, Christ is in you. So now you know what Jesus meant when he said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Next, Paul says that Christ in you is your hope of glory. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, the word hope is not mere wishful thinking. No, my friends, the Christian hope is sure. The Christian hope is certain because Christ has given it to us and nothing can take that hope away. Secondly, the word glory refers to our eternal life in God's love when we will behold Jesus face to face. You see, we now live by faith, not by sight. Christ lives in you, but you can't hear him, you can't see him, you can't touch him. But the fact that he dwells in you gives you the certain hope that one day you will see him face to face in all his glory. I'd like you to listen to what the Apostle Peter writes about this. Listen closely. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In closing, the Apostle Paul goes on in the rest of today's reading to remind us how important it is to remember that Christ is the most important thing in our lives. Christ is our greatest treasure. Paul pleads with us in today's reading to continue to grow in the knowledge of God, to continue to grow in the knowledge of His Word, so that we will not be deceived by fine-sounding arguments that the devil uses to lead people away from Christ. My friends, I want you to leave today knowing how blessed you are. God used someone to bring you to holy baptism. God used someone to proclaim to you the mystery of the gospel so that you could be given a repentant heart and faith in Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Because God has saved you, Christ now dwells within you. Your Savior is as close to you as he could possibly be, and this truth is your certain hope of future glory. You now live by faith. But one day you will see Jesus face to face in all his glory, and you will live in his love forever. And until that glorious day, you continue to trust in Christ who dwells in you and will bless you even in the midst of suffering and affliction as you strive to be his witnesses in this world. Amen.